As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I'm used to doing these. I do 200 of these a year.
Okay.
So every city I go to, I spend at least an hour to answer questions. And it originally was because I'm very productive. So 7 a.m. in a hotel, usually I was done with everything I needed from 7 to 8. There's nothing to do. So I just like put it out there saying, hey, anyone needs help? Come on down and meet with me. And it grew and grew and grew. As you'll see, even this group will grow and grow and grow. But the idea was originally, what are people needing to know? Who do they need to know? So that's what I'm looking from you is, hey, how can I help you? Who can I introduce you to? But the more interesting thing that's happened over all the years, doing 200 of these a year, is I have a unique perspective because I'm going to be in San Antonio doing one of those, back to DC, then I'll be in London, then I'll be in Egypt. And I'm one of the few people, ironically, as chairman of Napoleon Hill, that's a modern day Napoleon Hill, because I'm learning what's important to people around the world. And I'm also seeing commonality. And then I do research with what resonates with me, what I strongly agree with, strongly disagree with. And then that seems to be, in general, better teachings or lessons that I can share with people because I have a unique perspective, because most people haven't traveled and don't do these things in every city that they go to. So they have these unique social silo fed by Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Mine, I have the same thing you have, but my silo is different. It's led by every single country in the world and a variety of random people that are called to come and ask questions and gather around and do this. So that's why I do it. And the mutual benefit that I get from doing this, as you'll see, besides some really good content. So I'm going to let Colleen say the first question. Hopefully you'll think of one as we go.
Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday in the understanding of how people learn, right? Like for me, I'm visual. So when I think of time, I think of it as a linear timeline, like, you know, and when I'm trying to break down the difference between the productivity of activity I get paid for versus what I don't get paid for, family time and maximizing what that looks like, how do you take the idea of man-made constructive time out of that productivity, you know, when you're trying to prioritize both personal and professional?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked about at the lunch today, time and people reconciling their day with their divinity, their divine direction, their journey. And they both exist and they both have different time zones, right? Like, and I think understanding first that the common denominator of the human experience and the spiritual experience is time. And the reason is time is contextual in its nature. It allows a comparative analysis with no judgment. So if I compare myself to Fred, the natural human condition of the human experience is we're going to compare each other by how tall he is, how tall I am, what color he is, what color I am, how his voice sounds. But with time, it's just contextual. There's no condition of it. And divine time has even less conditions of it. And so when we start talking in the construct of family, finance, faith, all the things that we have trouble, quote unquote balancing in the day, if we change our meaning to the dependent variable, non-comparative but contextual nature of time, we can say, okay, you have a one-year-old. Mm-hmm. My time with my one-year-old is extremely important. Therefore, number one, I'm going to make it a non-negotiable, which means I'll get exponentiality of time because, you know, with me and my daughters, they're older. I give them 2 minutes a day because I know it's worth 2 hours on a Saturday. And so I'm using time more efficiently in the human experience, but in the divine side, I'm getting all the benefit of that divine time. And so instead of looking for balance, I, one, understand what's important to me and make it a non-negotiable, which means 7 days a week. A minimum amount of man-made time is constructed to it so that I live a better divine time, a better divine journey, fulfilled, passionate, inspired. A lot of people came up to me after that and said, I want to find my why. I said, no, you don't want to find your why. You want to apply your why. You already told me you have a why. It's bigger than you and loves you more than your mom. You already have a why. Let's figure out how to apply it in the human experience. And so if we, number one, look at it as a non-negotiable, apply a minimum amount of time and commit to it every day in a pursuit of a potential divine direction, then also be able to harmonize it with the other activities. And in order to do that, there's an antidote to feeling overwhelmed and worrying and procrastination. Anyone here ever feel overwhelmed? Anyone ever worry? Anybody ever procrastinate? All right, anybody want the antidote? Prioritization. If you know what's important to you and you're actually prioritizing your now, if you do things now and know what to do next, it's impossible to procrastinate, number one. Two, it's impossible to feel overwhelmed. And two, three, you're not going to worry because you're actually, action is the only thing that overcomes or shifts your emotion. Logic doesn't. They're on two different frequencies. You cannot out-logic worry. Trust me, I went to law school. I used to worry a ton. And I'd be like, go, baby. I'm like, look, let it go. Don't worry about the test. Let it go. Let it go. You know how many things I've said let it go to logically, and somehow I didn't let it go? I still woke up with a stomach ache, worried in the morning, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, whatever it was. Instead, action. That's how we shift our energy. Remember, emotions, like the needs of the ego, which are emotions, the need to be inferior, superior, separate, anxious, frustrated, anxious, guilty, resentful, mad, any of these things, the only way to counteract that is not analyze it, not resist it, go over and under it, through it, don't lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, deny it. Just take action by prioritizing what's important to you in the context of the actual circumstances of today. And once again, using time as the non-judgmental context in which to utilize more efficient, effective, and acceleration towards your potential. And the good thing is, too, framing things by a day is you always get a fresh start. Right? My days don't accumulate behind me because I know the infinite nature of the past. The infinite nature of the past is illustrated by the fact that you can give meaning to it. And you can get there with thought so quickly. Right? So the difference, I can't get to 3 o'clock today, Eastern time, I can't get to 3 o'clock any faster than you. And according to time zones, nobody on earth can get to 3 o'clock faster than me. But I can get to $100 million years in the past faster than you. Now, it takes, in man-made time, me about 0.1 seconds to get to 100 million years in the past or the future. So they must be infinite. They must be in the divine time. Anything in the divine gives you co-creation power. What does that mean? Anything that we put into the divine, not the man-made construct, anything we put into the divine, we're in God's country, meaning that we can co-create it, meaning we give meaning to it. We give meaning to everything that we see in the infinite. Think about that. So me losing everything, my first meaning I gave it for minutes and moments, it was actually longer than that, but I would love for it to have been minutes and moments, let's say days, weeks, and maybe a few months, was punishment. Nothing's changed about the history of David Meltzer. Nothing's changed about me losing everything except for my understanding of infinite, because I gave it the meaning of protection, promotion, love, and perfection. And it has protected, promoted, loved me, and perfected me. I wouldn't be in this amazing space if that history did not occur. Defining moments, historical relevances, are all these things that we give meaning to. So anything in the infinite you can give meaning to, but we can't control the man-made construct. We can't, no one's going to get to 3 o'clock today faster or slower than I am. It's just contextual. And that allows me to have some sort of certainty, reliability. So put it into the answer to this question. I have a new baby that's 1 year old. You're my, she's my president of my company, Colleen. So we worked together for almost 12 years. And I miss my baby right now, and I'm questioning whether or not it was worth coming, because it's an option for her, not like Nick, who has to be her off fire's ass. Colleen, she gets to take the option. She's the president, right? And she's sitting there like I was when I was in that position going, shit, is this worth it? Because I miss my baby. Well, we can use the circumstances of today in order to create prioritization to get rid of the guilt and resentment or separation that we feel from the people we love the most. Am I prioritizing them? What other options, opportunities, and touches of favor do I have? Use the one with my kids, right? We did last night when we got a delay in our flight. We were FaceTiming Des, right? And there was a good connection there. And it may not be the same as being there in person and hugging him, but thank God for technology. Because when I started traveling, there was Skype and it sucked. And I was in Korea. And then I made it just as an additional lesson. One of my favorite lessons I learned. So I went to Korea one time. The longest I went was 22 days. I was CEO of Samsung's phone division, their data division, and they had the world's first Windows device. See, so the whole time I was there, I was like, Colleen, missing my girls, missing my wife. Like, painstakingly, where one night I actually cried myself to sleep because the Skype didn't work, and I just couldn't even see them, and I didn't get to talk to them. And so I cried myself to sleep. So then I'm coming home, super excited. I got home after 22 days. There was shoes on the staircase, and the first thing I said to my wife is, why the fuck is there shoes on the staircase? You can imagine how the rest of the night went. This is what human beings do. And so when we understand putting things into context in the right manner and the meaning that we give it in the infinite, we have the co-creation power of the infinite. We don't have co-creation power in man-made construct, which is dictated by the dependent variable of 24 hours. So stop trying to manifest things within a 24-hour period, right? Don't think that just because your intuition is telling you something that it's going to fall within a 24-hour period. Know that the meaning of it is in the infinite, and that in order to deal with the 24 hours, we have to utilize the 24 hours to be productive, accessible, gracious, whatever your lenses are to use each day, hopefully in a direction where you want to be or better. Just a direction. Because behavior is what? Create your progress. Good behaviors, good progress. Bad behavior, bad progress. Good is determined only by you. Bad is determined only by you. Bad behavior, in my opinion, is that which interferes with my progress. Good is that which contributes to my progress. That's how I evaluate good or bad. Your good may be my bad and vice versa, depending on our divine direction or a trajectory of what we want, who we can help, who can help us, and how best to get it done.
I'm retiring from the Army
Thank
next year.
Thank you for your service. Yeah.
And I'm going into the film industry. And so I'm going from a very, very, very structured environment to what I am really finding out very quick, a not so streamlined, structured environment. And I'm just seeing, like, I just wanted to see what would be your advice for someone stepping out of one world and going into a whole new world like that?
Don't lose your superpower. So just because you're outside of a structured environment, you have a structured environment inside of you. And it sounds like there's a huge competitive advantage in the space, that there's a whole bunch of people that aren't structured in their usage of time, and you are for years. And that seems like a superpower and advantage. And so many people do the opposite, try to fit in and become less structured, when that's actually an advantage to you. And so remember, we meet people where they're at and then grow from there. We also meet ourselves where they're at. That's why I take inventory of skills, knowledge of who and what, and desire, always of myself. Because each day, in that contextual time, I'm meeting myself where I'm at, so I can look at the circumstances of each day according and aligning the actual reality of today. The funny thing is, so many people try to prescribe circumstances of the past or the future onto today. And once again, those are two different time zones. There's nobody here with any certainty can tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Not one thing. when it hits midnight, if anybody can tell me just one thing that they can guarantee me is going to happen from midnight to midnight tomorrow, I know how to make over $1 billion for both of us. I'll give mine to charity, you keep yours. But there's nobody. But yet, we make these plans as if there is, and we create systems, we create our values, our practices, our execution, and our incentives in our lives in accordance to a certainty that doesn't exist. And so the only certainty that exists is where? There's two things going on here. There's certainty that exists within and uncertainty that exists without. That's why we can't find anything outside of us that we can't see inside of us. And so you have great certainty inside of you. You have great skills, great knowledge of who and what, and great desire that has been developed through behaviors that have created the progress in what to me is one of the greatest values beyond freedom that our government provides to us, our military especially, our first responders, our teachers. These are all government-supported facilities. And you have all of that, and now you're in an area with all these creatives that wake up at noon and may or may not. And yes, there's anomalies, but I know the greatest creatives in the world, right? The Steven Spielbergs of the world, the Robert Downey Jr. with Tim. Trust me, they're as disciplined and as routine-oriented and behavior-controlled as any military person I've ever met. They are, all of them. Every football player, every entrepreneur that's success, Dave Williams, this guy's a maniac when it comes to discipline. Hey. And he's also a big supporter of me, of anyone that's been of service. So,
yeah, I actually got a question for you. So I'm a big believer that you don't get what you want unless you measure it, and you got to inspect what you expect. So when it comes to time, I'd be curious what KPIs that you measure on a consistent basis so you can continuously get better at managing and leveraging your time.
Great question. I have, for once, a simple answer to that. I measure how much time I spend interfering with what I want. So I don't worry about what I'm afraid of. I know fear is infinite. I'm afraid every day of something. So there's something instant and obvious that I can measure in the exact context that you want to learn from, which is my reaction to fear. Think about it. Anyone know when they're pissed? Anybody know when they're worried, inferior? Right? We all know it. Why? Because reaction to fear, which is all of those things, the need to be offended, right, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, we instantly know when we feel guilty. Who cares why? Honestly, like, go to therapy, try to figure that shit out. I've spent a fortune trying to, I'm still not there. But what really helps me is how much time am I interfering with where I want to be by identifying what's instant and obvious, I'm pissed off, and then saying to myself, hey, shorten the distance of being pissed off and the resistance that's just creating in your life. And I don't try to go over being pissed off, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, or deny it. I do the first thing that's really hard, especially if you're being pissed or worried, is I just stop. And then I have an action, which is called reminding, remembering, and recollecting with an omniscient, all-powerful source that loves me more than my mom. So I stop, and then I breathe, and I remind, remember, and recollect with God. Call it what you want. I remind, remember, and recollect with my source until I'm at ease. And then I go right into, what do I want? Instead of interfering with what I want, oh, I want to have a happy marriage. So maybe you shouldn't react with a need to be right, or a need to be offended, or a need to be inferior, or a need to be guilty or resentful. Because those things are just going to interfere with what I really want, is to have this amazing marriage. I've been married 27 years. I want to have a better marriage next year, not a worse one. A need to be right, make it worse. So I use time to say, okay, think about this. Dave, how can I improve on being guilty? Well, how much time did you spend today being guilty? I spent 59 minutes being guilty. All right, let's try to spend 58 minutes tomorrow being guilty. That's contextual. That's quantitatively a measurement of improvement. And then 57, so I'm basically 59 days away if I can improve 1 minute a day of reacting in a certain way. Now I'm in the minutes and moments of interference. That's why I have so much energy all day long, because I don't interfere with it. It's not that I'm in better shape, stronger, faster. No, I just don't interfere with what I'm already given. Now, I need to protect my vessel to make sure it can handle all that energy. That's why a minimum of an hour a day I spend on my health, with not just strength and cardio, but balance and stretching all of the things that I know are necessary in order to facilitate this vessel to utilize all of the energy that I'm taking in a day compared to what I used to interfere with.
Love that. Love it. Mind if I share a quick tip?
Please. Come over here.
How are you doing, everybody?
Dave Williams, quick
David tip. Williams. Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick tip because I used to be the guy, I don't know if anybody can relate, 16-hour days, grind, 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 hustle culture, but realized I really wasn't getting the things done that I wanted to get done, and I wasn't doing the things that I love. So I started doing this process, this exercise, so to speak, where every quarter, what I'll actually do is do a time audit, and I'll set an alarm on my phone for every day over a week, four times a day of every moment that I'm awake. So every 4 hours I'm awake, I set an alarm just so I can reflect on those 4 hours and write down all the things that I did. And what I do is I take a notebook and I draw a line down the sheet of paper. And on the left, I reflect on all the things that are way below my pay grade. So if I'm making $2 million a year, then I'm working 2,000 hours a year, my time's worth $1,000 an hour. What am I doing that's far below that pay grade? And what are the things that I don't like to be doing? But I also analyze what are the things that are in my pay grade I should be doing that I'm passionate about, and I put that on the right side of the page. By the end of the week, it gives me enough reflection and enough data where I can free up at least 20% of my time, and I can outsource, buy back my time, getting talented people to do the things that I shouldn't be doing. And if I have the privilege by the end of the week that I can hire people to do some of the things that I just dislike doing. And that's how I'm always evolving my time. And it keeps me grounded and keeps me from being in the place where I have the blinders on in my business.
That's awesome. Couple of things to that. One, I have a column called Emotional Expense, which is a new column in which I analyze things. So I used to think, outsourcing, I do a lot of virtual assistants, AI with capability. And I used to think it was because I save money by outsourcing somebody. But I actually pay more for better VAs than I do for my own employee that had that, because the emotional expense was really that cost me. So hiring has huge emotional expense, maintaining employees have huge emotional expense, and firing employees have huge emotional expense. So that's one of the other ways to analyze
Love
things.
That.
And then capability wise, don't be afraid. I temper saying I don't like or don't love something, because one of the superpowers that I believe I learned from Bob Parsons, the founder of GoDaddy. I was interviewing him at the Super Bowl, and you can see me. It's one of my favorite interviews because he says he's 70 something. He exited personally for $4.2 billion from GoDaddy. And he says in his 70s, Dave, if you love what you do, and I roll my eyes, like I go, this guy is not going to say you never were. Because he's way more enlightened than that. He's not going to say it. I know he's not going to say it, but I roll my eyes. And he's like, if you love what you do and you learn to love what you don't like or don't love, and you learn to love what other people don't like or love, and you do it every day, and you do it without quitting, life will tell you all its secrets. It'll give you its cheat codes. It makes life easy. It takes away or dissipates the dis-easy, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You are less at dis-ease and more at ease. And when we're at ease, you're connected to and through something that's bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves you, protects you, promotes you, perfects you more than your mom. How does that sound? And so I know playing video games with my 14-year-old, I wish I had the cheat codes to Fortnite and be able to kick his ass or even Madden, but I have the cheat code to life. Because I'm someone that has always learned to love what I didn't like and didn't love. So when I had to grind and every day, and I didn't like going on the road, and I learned to love it. I learned it. I found the light, the love, and the lessons in it, which created it. Now, beyond that, if there's things that you have options and opportunities, there's only so much that you can do, then take away the shit you don't like or don't love. But make sure you have learned to love the things that pay you $2,000 an hour, even if you don't like or love it. See where I'm going?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. One of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort, but I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince. quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
Question. Oh, pass the mic.
What's the biggest difference that you see between six-figure entrepreneurs and those get to 7 and 8? Because I'm stuck in the six-figure world.
Yeah, zeros. So you'll never overachieve your own self-image. You'll never overachieve your imagination. And I was one of those people that set a thermostat. And so when I made more money than I could imagine, I did everything I could to put me back to my ease, my thermostat. So self-sabotage, bad behaviors, bad friends, bad ideas. So I limited my imagination instead of expand my imagination to where I actually was. But you never will overachieve your own self-image. You might for minutes and moments, but not sustain it. And so, you know, learning how... In the only way is you got to surround yourself. You know, they talk about, I'm chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, and please, anybody that's a Napoleon Hill fan, a Carnegie fan, please join me because this thing's way bigger than me. And I'm looking for more people that want to be part of the Institute, want to teach the principles of success, just the idea of believing and achieving. If that's you, reach out, man. We have plenty of stuff to do. But in that context of imagination, they say, and I think it was Carnegie or someone, right? You're the aggregate of the five people you surround yourself most with. I'm here to, like, I don't agree with that. I believe that you play for teams and you want to pick according to subject matter, topic, or expertise, the team you want to play with and the position you want to play. So like on my family, I want to be the owner of the team, but we know I'm not. So I took the coaching position and let my wife be the owner of the team. Right? I'm smart. But, you know, if I want to do something that I'm learning, then I might be the water boy or the towel guy. So I think it's important to think of the aggregate of surrounding yourself with the right people and the right idea, but find your team according to subject matter, topic, and expertise, and surround yourself with the right people and right ideas, and know what position you want to start playing. And you can move up into positions. So do you want to be the center, the guard, whatever it may be? And so that has really helped me instead of like this kind of false facade of life. you're going to be the aggregate. Your bank account's going to be the same as the people you spend the most time. Bullshit, right? Because I'd have zero if that was true. But I have a finance team, and my aggregate is growing because I'm picking the people and surrounding myself with the ideas of 10 figures, not 9, not 8, not 7, and not 6. And you're looking at someone who sat on his bed in law school second year after my brother died, $100,000 loan, in a reception that prayed to God and said, God, if you just will give me enough money to pay off my law loans and buy my mom a house, I will shovel shit with my hands 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in gratitude. That was my thermostat. I had to change my imagination, and I did, by surrounding my people that said, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Why would you want to shovel shit for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, just to pay back a law loan and buy your mom a house? There's a lot easier ways to do it. Use what God gave you. There's more than enough for everyone. You don't got to do that to yourself. You're not being punished. You're being protected and promoted. Let's think of something different. This is a false facade of imagination that people do. I'm willing to do this for this. No, you don't have to. You want to be productive, accessible, and gracious with your time. Pick your teams, know your position, figure out how you can expand your imagination, your self-image every day, because you'll never overachieve it for a sustainable process. All right, next question. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
So how do you get rid of negative people, although they might be very close to you?
Great question. So this is a very common question. How do we get rid of negative people? So I have frameworks that I use. So there's three things I evaluate with the amount of time I want to spend people. Number one, relativity. How are we relative to one another? Are you my mom? Are you my child? Or are you my friend from the 11th grade that I still worry about what you think of me? Which leads to the second one, criteria. Okay, I know our relativity. Now, what's our association? Do I have to sit in an office right next to you in a cubbyhole? Are you in my golf group? Are you in my card game? Are you at my church? What is our association with each other? And then the third criteria is a duality of bleeding and feeding, because I used to say, you know, fire that which bleeds you, feed that which feeds you, bullshit. So it's actually about feeding. It's about how much does the bleeding and feeding feed me? See, there's a lot of feeding that goes on with bleeding. Anybody here have kids? Anyone's kids bleed you? And is that bleeding a feeding? See what I'm saying? So when I look at these negatrons, these electrons in my life, I ask myself, okay, what's our relativity? Okay, you're my brother. I get that. What's our association? We have to go to holidays together and invite each other to different functions. Fair enough. How much do you feed me in the feeding and bleeding in a relationship that exists? A lot. Because you polish my soul. Because not only do you know how to push my buttons, but you installed them. So I can learn more about myself through someone like you that not only knows who I am today, but knows the snapshots of my past and polished my soul. So that if I can maintain or grow a relationship with you, people that don't know me should be quite easy. And so I'm evaluating that. Now, the nice thing about all the incoming information that we have, it's easy to let people to fall away. So I'll give you an example. I found out about myself that I had friends from high school that were part of the old David Meltzer that live in blame, shame, and justification and attack me. And I'd hear something that they say about me being a bullshitter. And I say to myself, why am I even letting this interfere with who I am today? Now, I'm accountable. I was a bullshitter when they knew me, but I had lessons to learn. I still have it genetically in me and energetically. I can bullshit, oversell, back end sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat. But I spend minutes and moments ever doing that, where that used to be my construct, and that's who I was. So when people say, oh, Dave Meltzer's this, yes, I was. And hopefully you'll forgive me and give me a second chance. But if you don't, you certainly aren't worth my time. And I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to give you any, I'm not going to feel bad about myself for who I was. I'm going to tell you who I'm becoming. And if you want to be a party to me becoming, then join me. If not, forgive me. I forgave myself. And start looking within yourself, because I guarantee what bugs you the most about David Meltzer sits right inside of you. So if it bugs you when people oversell, back and sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat you, look within. You're not going to find outside of you what you don't see inside of you. I use it as a construct all the time. If I disagree strongly with something, I look within and ask myself why, because it's there. Awesome. Thank you. Great questions. All right, next. Yes, ma'am.
For most of us who are business inclined, one of the predominant themes is that we are always overwhelmed, running 24 hours a day, running ourselves ragged, trying to do things that would take other people 5 years to do and we get it done in 1 year. But in the process of doing that, we really drain ourselves. Have you found a hack for staying balanced and enjoy the business while you got it?
Yes.
Thank you.
So several things inherent in what you say, what you think, what you do, what you feel and believe about being overwhelmed need to be shifted in its meaning. So one, I don't feel overwhelmed. I feel abundant. I have more options, opportunities, and touches of favor than I can handle. What a benefit. Why am I feeling punished and overwhelmed? Because I am blessed with more than enough options, opportunities, and touches of favor. Therefore, what I really want to figure out is how do I prioritize this within the harmony of 24 hours each day in the circumstances of the day? What lessons do I have to learn or meaning do I have to give the past in the divine direction of where I think I want to be or better in humility? By doing my best, learning lessons, and having fun all day long. Some of the hacks that I know beyond incorporating a different idea of procrastination or feeling overwhelmed is this idea of negotiables and non-negotiables. And so I vacation every day. People get on my shit and I don't listen to them. Oh, you got to take some time off. You know, you can't go, you need to go off the grid. You're going to Egypt, you know, with your wife on a Nile cruise, you know, just cut everybody off. Don't worry about business. Don't pay any attention or intention to what's important to you. Don't talk to your kid. Are you fucking kidding me? No, I do every day. I just give it a minimum amount of time that creates a harmony because in certain days, like today, I'm going to spend a minimum amount of time with my 23-year-old daughter. But when she was home for Thanksgiving, I was way over my minimum. But I don't miss a day, and I vacation every day. I bought my wife selfishly for her 50th birthday a 55 Ford Thunderbird mint condition that I can vacation in. Because I wanted to buy something that was going to be easy and accessible to me to make me vacation. So she doesn't even know the amount of times that I leave a Zoom call, an interview, a coaching call or whatever, and I jump in the Thunderbird and I drive 10 minutes to the beach and I cruise the beach in a 55 Ford Thunderbird. That sounds like something you do on vacation. And sometimes it's a minimum of 10 minutes and I come back, but it's every day. Why? 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. 10 minutes a day is worth 10 hours on a Saturday. So if I'm vacationing 10 minutes a day, I don't need to go off the grid. And I certainly don't want to not pay attention to what I want to give attention to, which is my health, my family, my finance, my faith, regardless of my location. It's just a different, the only thing I'm balancing is the amount of intention that I'm giving to the non-negotiables in my life. And here's the irony of it. Time-wise, because I'm with you, right? Keep up with me. See if you can do in a week what I do in a day, a month what I do in a day, or some people in a year what I do in a day. Could try. It's fine. But what you'll find is what I'm really doing is I'm utilizing the circumstances of the day to align with my non-negotiables as well as using my negotiables in a prioritized manner. So 7 hours a day in sleep. So number one hack I have in life is sleep is used for two things. Recovery, if I recover better than all of you, you won't be able to compete with me, whether you're stronger, faster, smarter, et cetera. If I recover better, I'm better than you in performance. It's proven. Two, I access information that other people can't because they're not putting themselves. I have an unwinding routine and I sleep a minimum of 7 hours a day with a sleep coach for 17 years. I used to want to be in the Hall of Fame for pro football. I've represented the Pro Football Hall of Fame and more Pro Football Hall of Famers than anyone I know, next to Lee Steinberg. And the only reason I got to do it is because I was CEO of his company. But more importantly, I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. So a third of my life, I'm going to be the best performer. Tell me one activity that you could get that type of separation performance from that you spend a third of your life doing every single day. Why not make that my priority? Then I have 3.5 hours of non-negotiable behavior 7 days a week of what's important to me. Health, family, finance, faith, minimums amount of time. I study time for a minimum of 10 minutes a day. So that leaves about 13.5 hours to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want, determinative upon the circumstances of the day, which creates a harmony in my day, not a balance. There should not be a balance in your day. This is not a certain world. If you have a balance in the day, there's something really screwed up about you. If you spend 25% of your day for personal values, 25% of your day for experiential values, 25% of your day giving everything, and 25% of the day receiving everything, you're effed up. And you're not going to be happy. You'll live in dis-ease. That's not a construct that exists in a day. It's in divine time that you're balanced, which is created by the harmony and the value system that you have, prioritizing the non-negotiables in your life and making the prioritizing the non-negotiables by being non-negotiable, but also prioritizing the negotiables every day according to the circumstances of the day by giving the meaning to the past and changing your divine direction accordingly. Did that answer your question? Thank you.
Last question.
All right. Who wants the last question? Usually I got a problem getting the first question. That's good. Things are shifting in my life.
So you speak a lot about asking for help.
Yes.
And being humble enough to make sure you go and do that to get to the next level where you want to be. Can you give us an example of what you've done to ask for help and be able to make yourself humble enough to ask some of the biggest leaders or the folks you looked up to give you that assistance?
I'm intentional about asking for help. So I'm more interested than interesting. So part of asking for help is who you're asking. So in the context of knowing what I want, the second thing I ask myself is, who can I help and who can help me? And so both are incorporated in the oneness of help, of being one, which is a testament or illustration of your faith, of everybody being connected. And so for me, I'm very intentional about who I help and who can help me. And so according to the circumstances of the day, I have my intention of the day. I'm being more interested than interesting, saying, okay, who's going to be here? Oh, Fred's going to be here. This is how and what I want to be intentional with Fred and ask him for help. Colleen's traveling with me. I want to ask her for help. Whenever you're a co-pilot or you don't have a pilot, find the pilot and ask them to fly with their help. Fastest way to get to where you want to be, find someone that's already there and ask them for direction.